come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
And so, Lord, as we just move into your word now, Lord, we're so thankful to be here. We're so thankful to be in your presence. We're thankful that we have this opportunity on Thursday to draw attention to all of the things that we have to be thankful for. I pray, Lord, when there are families that get together and not everybody's getting along in the family, Lord, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, ahead of time, we pray, God, that your hand would be on those situations. Lord, that you would go before us. And that you would clear the way, Lord, that there would be a peace that surprises everybody, Lord. And that we would center in on the many things that we have to be thankful for. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we have. And just as we enter into this last chapter of the Gospel of John, Lord, we're thankful that we have had the privilege of being in your word and sitting at your feet and learning from you, Lord. And we thank you. I pray, Lord, for direction. I pray, Father, for a clear thought and focus. And, Lord, that you would just keep me going in the right direction as you give me the things to share with the ladies today. Lord, we're thankful and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, as you already know, the Gospel of John actually ended with chapter 20. That was actually where it ended when John said, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name, that he did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." That was really the ending of this Gospel of John, the good news that Jesus Christ came, the proof that Jesus was in fact God, is in fact God. It kind of all ended there, but in chapter 21, we have, if you will, the epilogue of just a little bit more that goes into a little bit more detail, and there are some things that it shows us in chapter 21. One of the things that it shows to us is the reality of the resurrection. There are many who said that the appearances of Jesus after his death were nothing more than visions by the disciples, that they were hallucinations, that they were that he was just a spirit that came in. But the Gospels insist that the tomb was empty and that the risen Christ had a real body that still bore the signs of the nails and the where the spear was thrust in his side. But John gives us even further proof that this was a real person. This was not just a hallucination or a vision. A vision or a spirit would probably not be likely to point out a school of fish that to a bunch of fishermen. A vision or a spirit would not be likely to build a fire on the seashore. And a vision or a spirit would not be likely to cook a meal and share it. And yet Jesus did these very things. In John chapter 20, verse 20, John told us how Jesus came back to his disciples when the doors were shut. He showed them his hands and his side. He said, "Touch me," and that I am not a bodiless spirit. As he showed them that they touched him, they believed, they were firmly convinced of his flesh and blood. And after his resurrection, he ate and he drank with them and showed them that he was, in fact, risen from the dead. He was not just a spirit. So the aim of the chapter is to make very clear the reality of the resurrection. He was not just a vision. He wasn't a figment of someone's overactive imagination. He wasn't just a spirit, but he is and was Jesus who had conquered death and come back from that death. I believe that this chapter also shows us the redeeming power of Jesus Christ in the life of Peter. And I think that it was put in here for a very strong purpose. Peter had repented of denying the Lord three times, and he'd been restored to fellowship. We have that in Luke 24, 34, 1 Corinthians 15, 5. And in our text, Peter's restoration is publicly acknowledged by the Lord. And so we have all of that together. So this is what happened in this chapter. So Peter decides to go fishing. It says after these things, in chapter 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is also the Sea of Galilee, which is also just, it's a big lake. It's not really a sea like we think of it. And in this way, he showed himself. And so he goes on to tell us, so Simon Peter, and so there were seven guys, seven of the disciples that went fishing. When Peter said in verse 3, he said to them, I'm going fishing, and they said, we're going with you. Whenever we go in a direction, we are always leading someone. No matter what we do, and we think that we're just making a decision on our own, well, this is where I'm going, we find that there are people that follow us. They might not follow us closely, but they will follow us. They will go after us, and this is what happened here. And they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But in the morning, had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. And so what happened here? It was a quite normal thing for them to be fishing at night. It was very normal for them to be out on the sea at nighttime. There would have been other fishermen that were out there on the nighttime. They had fished all night, and it was what was not normal for any fisherman is when someone asked them, have you caught anything, for them to actually say no. Most fishermen say, yo, there was this one, he was this big, and he was right there. But they simply say no, they haven't caught anything to this stranger that's on the shore. And they had fished all night, they came up empty-handed, but oh, things were about to change. Because in the life of the believer, weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Peter would have been thinking about his situation. Yes, he's been forgiven. Jesus and him had taken care of it. He had gone to Jesus. He knew he was forgiven. Yet it went over in his mind, over and over. And I think that's the place that he was at as they fished quietly in the dark. They wouldn't be loud while they were fishing. They all would have been kind of to themselves, quietly going through it, the fishing thing. The fishing thing. No coffee. It's no coffee. So as they were doing that and they were quietly fishing, there's Peter thinking, going over in his mind, if only I had, oh, I wish I had. How could I have? You ever do that? Is there someone in here right now that you're just going over something in your mind and you just keep saying, oh gosh, if only. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. Weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning, and that joy comes in the way of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have in this chapter. It was also normal for them, on the fishermen on the Galilee, to respond to someone as Jesus said over there, have you caught anything? And then he tells them to cast their nets on the other side. It would have been a very normal thing for someone to be along the banks there and to say that to some fishermen. They were only 300 feet offshore, And as they were there, I think it's jet lag, but I'm doing my best here. So he called from the shore, and they did exactly what he told them to do. They would have taken their net, which was all folded up neatly, and as a good fisherman would cast it out, and as they cast it out, it would make kind of form into a bell, and as it dropped, all the metal weights on the corners would just all drop at the same time. Just it must have been beautiful to see it, and then to see what was in it as they pulled it in, and they did what Jesus told them to do. And this time they were successful, and it was filled with fish. See, Jesus was acting as guide to his fishermen friends, just as he continues to do to us today. He continues to guide us if we will do what he says to do. You know, I read that, well, Peter and the guys were out someplace where they weren't supposed to be. That may be the case, but even though they were in a place where Jesus had not particularly called them, Jesus came for them, and he told them, fish on the other side. And then as they, now it was John, okay, so, and so, he was acting as a guide. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, verse 7, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it. He was not naked. He did have clothes on. He just didn't have all of them on. And plunged into the sea. I read some things about, oh, did he walk on the water? Is this the point where he walked on the water? Is this what, did this happen? Did that happen? Did he swim? Did he? It says he plunged into the water. So he went into the water and got to Jesus as quickly as possible. But the other disciples came in their little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, which is about 300 feet, dragging a net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Now that caught my eye. Why would he have them bring the fish that they had just caught? He already had fish there. He already had that. It was already cooking. Why would he ask for the other fish? Because Jesus wants us to know that he will provide all of our nourishment if we will come to him. You see, weeping endured through the night, but joy came in the morning, in that time in the morning with Jesus. Jesus will give us all the provision that we need. He will give us all the nourishment that we need. But he says, bring everything that you have and bring it to me, and then we'll use it together to feed others. See, God is going to use every one of us to do something. We think we're incapable of doing certain things. Anybody else but me ever feel like I'm talking to somebody and I think God's telling me to tell him about him and I don't know what to say, but what am I going to say? I don't know how to. So we say something stupid and we find out that that was exactly the thing that the Lord wanted us to say to the person. Because we gave what we have to Jesus and he used it to feed the others. And so God uses us in that same way, that nourishment that we need. And so then Jesus, Simon Peter went up and he dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of his disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And this was the third time that John says that Jesus had showed himself to them. And so John tells us there were 153 fish. Now, this was an interesting thing. I don't know if any of the rest of you looked at that and go, why 153? And then you read all the different things about why there were 153. And some of them were so complicated that well, there's 100 of this, and there's 10 of that, and the 5 is this, and the 3 is that, and blah, 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 blah. And I didn't know, so I went with the one that said that there were 153 different kinds of fish, and that cat, in that catch, it included every one of those, and it was a symbolizing the number. The number symbolizes that Jesus has come for all people of all nations. There is no one that's left out. There is no one that's left out. They were gathered into the net, and the net didn't break. And that the net, that is, that the net stands for the family of God. The net stands for the family of God, and all are called to come in. All are called to come in. Every nation, every people, every person is called to come in. But the net didn't break. There's not only room in the family of God for everyone, but that speaks to me that not one of them will be lost. And I know there are other people praying in here for someone. I want to tell you, they're not lost. They will not be lost. They are in that net. You keep praying for them. And you be confident that Jesus Christ himself will just reel in that person. Bring him in, because not one will be lost. It fulfills that scripture that we read earlier. And this leads us to the next portion of our text, and it's the reason why Peter will be told to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Since Peter had denied the Lord 3 times, Jesus asked Peter 3 personal questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? 3 personal questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? The Lord asked him 3 times, and we already know that he said that he used different words for love. Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me without reservation? Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I love you. And then he asked again, do you agape me? Well, you know that I phileo you. I love you like a brother. Do you even love me like a brother? And Peter says, you know all things, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. And Peter was proud of the fact that he loved him. He did not hold back. He would talk about Jesus all the time. He always let people know where he stood. And so as we go into this, and Jesus then came, and now on the third time, and then in 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed the new believers. Feed the little ones. Be there for those who have entered into the family. Feed others with what you've received. Early in the morning, what did you receive from the Lord? He's just investing that time with the Lord right now. It's still morning time while they're talking. In that time that you just invest with the Lord, we can't give others what we don't have. I can't give someone else something that I've not received. And I can only give of what God has given me. Peter, do you love me? The second time, then tend my sheep. Now, sheep need a lot of taking care of. They need a lot of taking care of. They have a hard time keeping clean, even. When we lived in Australia, we were introduced to one method that they took care of a particular area of the sheep because they couldn't take care of it themselves. And they need that constant care. They need someone there with them. They are easily lost. Sheep are easily lost. But a true shepherd has the ear of his sheep. Our true shepherd has, does he have the ear of me as a sheep? He listens. I listen for him. What I'm trying to say is, am I paying attention when he calls? We had that little video some time ago when we talked about the shepherd, and remember that some other people tried to call the sheep and they wouldn't come. And then the shepherd came and he called them. They go, oh, yeah, here we come. That's what we need to be like. Oh, yeah, that's the shepherd. That's the shepherd. Tend my sheep, Peter. Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Continue to feed them the word. Even when they're grown, we are never too old, never too mature to grow. We need to be constantly in the Word of God. And I, just as I was driving here this morning and someone was talking about, I can't even remember who I was listening to on the radio, but I just got this, the famine of the Word of God. The famine of the Word of God. When I go around to different places, I realize how many people do not know the Word of God. How many Christians do not know the Word of God? Why? Because they have not invested the time in the Word. They haven't invested the time reading. They haven't invested the time listening. They haven't invested the time with the Lord particularly. There is a famine of the Word of God. And again, ladies, we must hide the Word of God in our heart. Have it with us at every moment. It must be there. Now, in verses 18 through 23, Peter's told how he's going to die because he'll live this way of love. Peter, love my sheep. Feed my sheep and love them. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And then Peter's going to turn around and say, what about John? But as we look at this, he said, you know, Peter was being told to love as Jesus loves. And that meant that kind of love that will lay down his life for the sheep. Peter's being told, you're going to lay down your life. And our love for the Lord is shown by the way we love one another. Our love for the Lord is shown by the way we love one another. Love is the greatest privilege that we have in the world. They will know we are Christians by the way we love one another. Can I show grace to someone who has greatly offended me? Can I? I don't know. Sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes when someone has offended me, the last thing I want to give them is grace. Now, I want to receive grace, but I don't want to give grace. But if I am truly to love as Jesus loved, I must pour out that kind of grace on everyone else. And I cannot pour out what I have not received. And so I get that grace from the Lord. He was saying that he would lay down his life. Love is the greatest privilege in the world, but it brings the greatest responsibility, and it brought Peter a cross, a physical cross. Peter would be crucified upside down in Rome. He was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to be crucified in the same way that his Lord was. Love brought Peter a task, and it brought him a cross. Love involves responsibility, and it also involves sacrifice. Love is an action. It's an action word. Love is an action. When a person has settled the matter of death, then he is ready to live, and he's ready to serve. Now, in verse 19, Peter would glorify God by dying as a martyr. He who denied the Lord would be given the courage to lay down his life for Christ. he who had denied three times. 3 years ago, Jesus told Peter, "You follow me." And then now we are 3 years into this situation that they are. 3 years of lessons, 3 years of learning, 3 years of walking with Jesus. And we see this change. We see the same phrase being given by Jesus. "You follow me." Just follow me. Follow me. Don't try to follow me from the front. Anybody follow from the front? Any of us as women want to follow from the front? Any of us found out how hard that is? It's not easy to follow from the front. We get into lots of trouble. I get into lots of trouble there. I don't know. Probably none of you guys do that. I do that. And I get in front, and I go in my own way, and I realize, oh, follow, follow. Follow means get behind. Follow, behind, yes, get behind him and see where he's going so that I can go in that way. So what about John in verse 21? So what about John? What about this other guy? Okay, I can accept I'm going to die. I can accept that I'm going to have a martyr. But what about John here? Sometimes we get so concerned about what other people are doing that we lose sight of what God's doing in our lives. We're so concerned that they're doing it right or they're doing it wrong, and we lose sight. Too many times we're occupied with them. "As for you, you follow me." Now, John clarifies that now in here it says that if I will that, verse 22, Jesus said, "If I will that he remain," speaking of John, "till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but "If I will that he will remain until I come, what is that to you?" So there was the story going on that John was not going to die until the Lord came back. Peter wants to know what was John, what's going to happen with John. I don't think that Peter would have wanted the life that John got to live. John went through all kinds of torture. They tried to kill him numerous times, but even to the point where they put him on an island by himself. But what happened on that island? He had the revelation of Jesus Christ that puts right here in our Bible. We're able to see what God has in store for us, what is ahead of us. And I don't think that Peter would have wanted that life. We get so involved in other people's life. Some would say that John was the great one, so spiritually minded. Some of us would say that Paul got to travel all over the place. And Peter might not write and think like John. He might not travel and adventure like John, like Paul, but he had the great honor of being a shepherd. Jesus said, "Tend my sheep, take care of my sheep." Each of us need to take that to heart. Each of us need to be in that place. We may not be able to think like John. I think John was just, I love the way John loved. Don't you just love the way John loved the Lord? I want to love the Lord that way. But I may not be a John that can write all these things, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and be that spiritually minded. We may not be able to go to the ends of the earth, although right now I feel like I've been to many ends of the earth and trying to get back today. But we may not be able to go and travel all those places like Paul did, but each of us can guard someone else from going astray, and each of us can feed the lambs of Christ with the food from the Word of God. Each of us can guard someone else's life. How do we guard someone else's life? We befriend them, but the biggest part of our guarding someone else's life from going astray is that time in the war room, that time of prayer, when no one else sees, no one else hears but Jesus himself. And we just get in there and we do warfare for someone else. Let's all serve Jesus where he has us. Jesus said to Peter, never mind the task that's given to someone else. Your job is to follow me. And Jesus says to us today, ladies, it is your job to follow him. That's what he still says to each one of us. Our glory is never in comparison with others. Our glory is in the service in whatever capacity he has given to us. Now, in verse 24 and 25, John reiterates what he'd said in the last chapter. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would then in which they could be written. John was not trying to tell us everything, but just enough to continue to believe in that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. In verse 20, 31, what did he write it for? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so we come to the end of the commentary. We come to the end of our lessons here in not just this chapter, but in this whole gospel of John. Perhaps now we realize a little bit better why is this the book? When someone comes to know the Lord, the first thing we say is, read the book of John. Start with the book of John. There was someone that I recently heard, they became a Christian, and they said, okay, I'm going to start with the New Testament. I'll start with Matthew. And they went through, and they begat, and they begat, and they begat, and they begat, and they begat. And he goes, I don't know. And he set his Bible aside. But if he would have gone into the book of John, into the Gospel of John, and he would have seen who Jesus is, and he would have seen that love, doesn't reading and studying the book of the Gospel of John just make you love more? Doesn't it just make you want to love God more? Doesn't it make you want to love one another more as you see these things, the clarity of them? It's an encouragement to new believers to start with this. When we read it thoughtfully and prayerfully, we fall in love afresh with Jesus Christ. We fall in love. We don't just fall in love, but we really love. We jump into that love. Jesus, may he receive all the power and glory for all that he has done and all the things that we've learned from here. I want to leave you with something that I recently heard that Kay Smith used to tell her children. She gave them the three B's. And the three B's are, may you know that you are beloved. May you know that you are believed in. And may you know that you are blessed. As we enter into Thanksgiving, may we know that we are beloved. You are loved. I love you guys, but Jesus loves you the best. That you are believed in. I believe in you guys. I believe that your heart is to serve the living God in the best way that you possibly can. I believe in you that you are investing that time in the Word of God and that you are investing that time in prayer. I believe that about you guys. And I believe that we are blessed. I believe that you are blessed. I believe that I am blessed. We have all we need. I'm going to miss you guys so much over December. I know that God is going to do a work in your lives that you can't even imagine. He's going to do something over this holiday season that you're just surprised. There's something that you've been praying about. There's something that you've been praying about, and the Lord is going to do something. He's going to speak to you on that issue. I can't wait to hear about it in January when we start up again. Okay, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your blessings, your presence with us, Lord. I thank you that you've given us all that we need. Thank you for the little babies that are in here, Lord, how precious they are. just to be able to hear them, and just I'm thankful, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of the great things that you're doing. Father, I pray for your direction today in the small groups, Lord, that the ladies would be blessed, that they would love one another, that they would care for one another, that they would continue to pray for one another, and that they would always put you first, first thing in the morning, that they would put you first, Lord, and seek after you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.